It's lawyer up time with Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of this program. She joins us every week at this time to go inside the numbers on several legal cases. Full docket here today. And we get started with her. She's available at lanierlawgroup.com or hireaheavyweight.com. She's president. Hello, Lisa. How you doing? Lisa? Lisa, are you
Lisa?
There?
Lisa?
Uh-oh.
Hey, you got me. You got me. Oh. I had you muted. Had you muted in the pre-show. Man, it's there. Sorry.
Let me tell you something, Lisa. People mute me all the time.
Good. Yeah, he's right.
A lot of times in real life, I'll be talking to somebody and they'll just hold up a hand and say, mute yourself.
Stop.
Oh, and during, listen, when we used to have meetings on Zoom during COVID, I can't tell how many times it was just like, mute yourself.
You saw the finger coming at you.
I had muted myself.
She had muted herself, everybody. Yeah. I used to see the finger coming right at me like, don't mute me. And you're done. And then they can't hear you anymore. Lisa Lanier, we have a boy, talk about a full docket. Now, I'll tell you, we discussed this about a week and a half ago. A former Myrtle Beach police detective is facing criminal charges. He pointed a department-issued handgun at a fellow officer because his fellow officer microwaved fish in the company microwave and apparently stunk up the entire place. Now, our take on it was, you should be allowed to pull a gun on somebody that microwaves fish in the company microwave. But this guy apparently has been arrested for it and lost his job. What legal recourse does he have, Lisa? How will he get these charges knocked down a little bit? I guess you can't.
Yeah, no, he not only was he terminated, but he was immediately processed and booked and charged with a felony, pointing a firearm at a person. He faces up to 5 years in prison. And I imagine he will... You know, they will probably go easier on him than your average person. But it was pretty, you know, I don't think that it's going to be taken lightly. And I think, you know, this other officer is making a really big deal about it and pressing for, you know, the charges to hold.
I kind of felt like it was a joke between officers because one put fish in the microwave. But yeah. I guess not. I guess he was really, really mad.
No, it escalated. Yeah, I mean, I think the fish thing started it, and then there was, like, you know, harsh words exchanged, and it escalated to this gun pointing.
Yeah. What's your policy on microwaving dishes at your law firm, Lisa?
You know, people do all kinds of crazy stuff. They microwave all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, fish, terribly stinky. Not a good idea.
Somebody was telling me the other day that they burned popcorn in the microwave.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, that's terrible.
At the workplace. Yeah, she put it in for 6 minutes.
How does that even happen? There's a popcorn button.
She had no idea. Yes, there's a popcorn button on the microwave.
Right.
She put it in for 6 minutes, and apparently it started a fire.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that bad, you know.
Oh, yeah, it'll catch fire, and then you can't get rid of that smoke smell. It's just permanent.
That's right. Yeah. The smoke and popcorn smell is awful there. Another lawsuit we discussed earlier this week, a 22-year-old recent college graduate, her name's Hannah Smith, she's suing Carnival Cruise Line. This happened during an excursion in 2025. Now, this is a pretty interesting case because she went out during the excursion to a place called Pearl Island Beach Escape. Now, they're hooked up with the cruise line, I believe. The cruise line, like, offers you a chance to go there. While she was there, she got really drunk, and she smoked a lot of marijuana. So she's high on weed, admittedly, and she was drunk. She says they overserved her, and when they were getting ready to try to get back onto the ship, she's like, I gotta pee, terribly. And she asked, can I jump in right over there and relieve myself? And according to her, a Carnival Cruise Line employee said, yeah, jump in. When she did, her legs were taken off by the propeller. I mean, it's terrible. It's an awful thing. How responsible is the cruise line, and how responsible is she because she got inebriated and was smoking marijuana? What do you think on this, Lisa? A big lawsuit win for her?
You know, I think that you often see these cruise lines settle with people who have catastrophic injuries like amputations, but they're not settling with her. They're trying to get it dismissed. And it was none of their employees were involved. No cruise line employees. This was a complete and total independent contractor, but they do promote them. So, you know, you're on the boat and they say, hey, you can sign up for this. It was $79 to go on this catamaran tour. And what they did was they overserved it. All these things, they serve alcohol. I've never seen one that they handed out pot, but that's probably because they think I'm old and I don't want to.
Yeah, maybe.
But they always get you. They always get everybody drunk on these, you know, rum drinks and stuff.
Yeah, rum punch,
yeah,
baby.
Painkillers. Yeah. Yeah, the painkillers and. Which, and they're delicious, by the way, and, yes, and they hit you hard. So, yes, anyway, she, you know, when she was in the water, what they did was instead of anchoring the catamaran, they were using the motor to, if it was drifting, they were to correct it instead of anchoring. And so the engine wasn't running, the motor wasn't running when she first got in, but they started to drift. And so they fired it up, and the force of that firing it up sucked her into the propeller.
Oh, my God.
The problem is, I mean, there's many, many problems with going after these cruise lines for these independent contractors, because when you book, there's a huge disclaimer in your ticket that says, we don't control these independent contractor excursions. That's on you and them, and, you know, we just help you arrange it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always a big issue. So, I mean, likelihood of success here is low, but sometimes they do settle with these things.
Well, now, is she going
out of charity?
Is she going after the cruise line because they have way deeper pockets than the people running the catamaran?
Oh, yeah. It's impossible to go after these little vendors.
Yeah, that catamaran's at the bottom of the sea.
Exactly.
That catamaran that day when they saw what happened, suddenly nobody worked there and the catamaran disappeared, I bet.
Right.
Man.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You're drunk, you're high, you're having a great time, you're in a catamaran, and then you're sucked into the propeller. Jeez. I want somebody to pay for. But you're right. I was misunderstanding. I thought an employee of the cruise line told her to jump in. That is not the case.
She asked Rum Punch Guy, the guy pouring.
Yeah, Rum Punch Guy said,
can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't care. God, that is terrible. I bet she had no idea either, of course, that they were going to all of a sudden turn on the propeller.
Ugh.
Ooh, that's terrible. I do like those catamarans. You know, you can get really drunk on those.
Oh, God,
you
yeah.
You can get drunk.
The sunset cruise and they're all booze cruises.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I had a public display of affection with my wife 10 years ago on one of those catamarans.
10 years? That's, wow.
I started kissing her, you know, on the catamaran. Mm-hmm. And she said, get your lips off me right now.
Say, I don't think she, yeah.
We are in public. We are not. I said, we're not really in public. It's like 15 people on here.
Yeah.
I don't care. The Jamaican guy was staring a hole.
Oh, yeah.
Like they were getting in. I get into that sometimes. What can I tell you? From Hollywood, there is a guy who's claiming responsibility for writing John Wick. It's been 12 years since the first John Wick came out. And a gentleman, a writer named J.R. Wicker, says that he wrote it. He wrote something called Blood for Escobar and then presented it so that they could make the movie like that. And then years later, all of a sudden he sees John Wick. And he's like, this is my story. Write down, I haven't seen the John Wick movies, but apparently Keanu Reeves plays the character. His dog is killed.
Yes.
And then he becomes this badass that goes after everybody. That's what I know.
It's the most, I will never forget it because... You see something happens to John Wick,
mm-hmm.
to his dog,
mm-hmm.
and you turn immediately into, like, I want everyone to die.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well,
it's that kind of movie.
The guy here, J.R. Wicker, says he wrote it about a widowed, retired, middle-aged assassin who gets back into the game, the criminal underworld, goes on a killing spree against an international society of hitmen because his dog is killed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lisa, does he have a chance here? He sent it in, I guess, for somebody to review in Hollywood.
You know, it's surprising how many of the kind of the elements are the same, including that both characters drive a vintage 1960s Mustang.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, you know, widowed, middle-aged assassin, all that, pet mm-hmm. killed, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, those kinds of sort of big elements of a story are not enough for a copyright violation to prove an infringement. Because the idea is that, you know, a story about a middle-aged assassin is, you know, lots of people might write that story, right?
Right.
And so you have to get into really excruciating details have to be copied, which is kind of surprising. But the other thing that's interesting here is that there's typically a 3-year statute of limitations on these claims. And this is a way, way, way outside that, you know, right? This is, we're talking many, many years outside that. But he's arguing that there is this discovery exception to say you didn't know you were being infringed, and it can extend that statute of limitation. So he's trying to do that as well, because he's saying he had never seen these John Wick movies before. And then once he saw it, he realized he'd been ripped off. But that's kind of hard to believe when you're, you know, especially when your name is J.R. Wicker and you're in this whole community where all this has gone on, that you've never watched one of these movies.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wonder about that. Now, I didn't know what the movie was about until fairly recently because I've not seen them. So I sort of cut him some slack on that. Now, after reading this case, do you think that someone saw this and just basically said, I'm going to steal this? You know, did they do that intentionally? Because I believe so. And I think he should get paid his $10 million, honestly.
I mean, there are a lot of elements that are the same. So it's going to come down to the trier of fact, having to decide, like, are they sufficient? Are the details sufficiently minute to say that this was a copy?
I don't think the standard should be on those minute details. It's like
it's really hard.
Yeah. I mean, this story sounds almost identical, right down to the car.
The car part is what would make me be like, okay.
You know, the car, the dog.
Yeah.
The guy's name is John Wick.
I was going to say the guy's name being John Wick is crazy.
Yeah. Come on. You know, I
agree. I think he's been ripped off and I think he should win. It is a very hard burden, but he may be able to pull it off. It's just going to come down to the impression of the trier of fact about, is this enough detail?
Well, you know, it's been so successful, that series, John Wick. Wouldn't you think the movie company would just give him $10 million? Could they settle it, Lisa?
They could, and they do a lot of times in these cases. It's fairly early in the case, so they may still do that.
There's a settlement coming for a 69-year-old woman, Holly Jenkins. She's no longer with us. Killed by a 10-foot alligator while she was walking her dog in Hilton Head, South Carolina, in a community. This was 3 years ago. Her family reached a settlement with the neighborhood association and the management company. It's the management company's responsibility to make sure that they're what? Do they have to have signage? Do they have to remove an alligator? Why does she win in this case, Lisa?
So under South Carolina, their premises liability law, they have these distinctions for people like why you're on the property. Mm-hmm. And she's considered a business invitee. And so they have a duty to abate any known nuisance. And certainly to warn of it, and they really didn't do either of those. And they settled with her. It's confidential, but I heard it was millions.
I bet. Poor woman. She was only 69, and her family, of course, was just devastated. I tell you what, don't go near any body of water in Louisiana, South Carolina.
Florida
for sure. There are gators there, obviously.
Would you be a little upset in heaven that your family got so much money and you don't get to enjoy it?
Yes.
I mean, I know you're in heaven, and heaven's like the ultimate everything. But to know that I got taken out by a gator, and then I look down and I see like my nieces spending my gator money.
Right. That's my gator money.
Gator money.
On frivolous stuff. Yeah.
Shoot up by a gator for that.
Yeah, yes. They're like just buying all this Nido with my gator money.
My gator money. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'd be a little upset.
Totally agree. This is about money, and I'm surprised by this. Some sports dirt here. There's a quarterback. This is a big news. He's from Texas Tech. His name is Brandon Sorsby. And he was granted a temporary injunction against the NCAA allowing him to play college football this season. He's a quarterback there. He has bet $90,000 over 4 years of playing college football, including 40 bets involving the Indiana football team when he was a freshman on the team in 2022. Now, the one rule, now there's betting everywhere, you know, on the online betting. And, of course, a lot of college kids do it. But the one rule when you play on the team is you can't bet on sports.
And apparently, I missed the boat. This is a giant deal.
Oh, yeah,
that
huge.
Could change the face of the NCAA, and I missed that.
Huge. I'm stunned that some judge said, oh, yeah, you can play this year. The NCAA said you're banned from playing college football. Were you surprised that the courts went this way, Lisa? And what happens to
everybody.
Him? Yes.
Yeah,
shocking.
Everybody was surprised. And here's what happened. A Texas judge just home-cooked the NCAA.
Texas, maybe.
Got home-cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They're like, you're not going to tell us this boy can't play. And so the judge went on this thing about, first of all, he hired Jeffrey Kessler, who's a very famous sports attorney, and they gave the mental health argument that he has a gambling addiction and that he should not be banned for life because of that. And so this is just a temporary injunction, and it will run out, and then there will be a trial. But the judge intentionally set the trial to take place after the season, so he will, and then for the injunction to last through the season. He just completely home-cooked them.
Mm-hmm.
So this kid's going to get to play, then he'll get his trial, and he may lose, and the NCAA may win, but so what? The kid got to play.
Yeah, and this is He's the best, apparently, college quarterback. Like they said, with him, Texas Tech has a shot at the national championship. Without him, no shot.
That's so dirty. This judge is dirty.
It's so dirty. Yeah, it's so dirty. And,
Red Raiders.
Big 12 schools are boycotting. And then it's gotten so ugly. The Texas Attorney General is then threatening legal action against schools for boycotting. It's just, it's turned into just a big old kind of mudslinging legal nightmare.
Yeah. Now, I have heard this is so bad and so egregious that the NCAA will finally make some rules.
They should.
About, they said, so yeah. He, without realizing it, is going to change the face of the NCAA, but he's going to get to play.
Well, are you saying that teams like, let's say, Texas or Texas A&M are boycotting, like refusing to play Texas Tech this year because he's been allowed to play? Is that what they're trying to do?
Yeah, because everybody's so appalled by this ruling. I mean, yeah. It's so wrong. I mean, this kid, addiction or not, he bet a tremendous amount of money on games that he was playing in. Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely illegal.
And he himself stands to make $5 or $6 million this year.
So they got
an NIL.
He gets that money too.
Yeah.
God, that judge, they ought to investigate him.
Oh, big time.
And have him stripped of his credentials.
I bet he's had to take down his Texas Tech flag from behind the bench.
Yeah. Really? He's wearing Texas Tech gear under his robes. That is ridiculous. Man, I just heard that on the surf. No wonder everybody's so mad about this. That's crazy. If they win the national championship, man, I know something. You think I'm not going to be mad at
him? They're saying they could with him there.
Unbelievable. Chad Larson is 50 years old. This goes to South Carolina as well. Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. For a couple of weeks, a group of teenagers have been playing Ding Dong Ditch. They would ring his doorbell and then run. So, last Monday night, he did what you do. He hid in his bushes, in his neighbor's bushes, saw what happened, ambushed the kids as they got off their bikes to go and ring the doorbell, grabbed one by the neck, grabbed him inside, held a rock to his head, and said, quote, "I should hit you with this rock." He's been arrested for kidnapping. I want those kids hung up by their Buster Browns. You tell me, Lisa, can this guy have any kind of legal recourse to get out of this? Because what is he supposed to do? You know, nobody's going to help him in this situation. They're just teenagers ringing the doorbell. What do you think?
Yeah, and they were pretty young teenagers, too, I think. And so he was napping, and they've been doing this to him for weeks, but this was the final straw because the dude was napping. And you know how awful it is to be rudely awakened from a nap, right?
Yes, I do.
I don't know about you, but I am a bear when that happens.
That's right, yes.
And so he turned into a bear, and that's what prompted him to go out and hide. And he literally tackled them as they rode their bikes. And then as he was dragging the kid into the house, somehow he knocked his handle off his front door, and so he actually couldn't open the door. So when the police arrived, here's the homeowner standing there with the kid and a rock looking out this door, and the cops have to go find the doorknob and reattach it so they can get the kid out of there. But no, he is in a world of trouble. So, I mean, they charged him with felonies that are basically kidnapping, and basically, he's facing 50 years in prison.
50 years in prison because he knocked.
50 years in prison.
That is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, these kids are the ones at fault. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, he went too far, but you drive somebody crazy, you know?
Well, let me ask you this, okay? Yeah. Let me just pose this question to you, Chris Kelly.
Yeah.
If you're the parent of one of the kids, how do you feel? Because do you go and say, I don't want him charged with this? But he's also tackled and drug your kid into his house.
I would say, look, I'd like to talk to him and say, do you realize you shouldn't have done this? But I know my kid shouldn't have done it either. So I would say, can we have a happy medium here? Get these reduced to misdemeanors. I'm going to make sure our kids never come to your house again, and let's be decent neighbors. No, I would not want him put to jail for 50 years for doing this. If I was a parent and did that, Lisa, would it carry any weight?
So here, one of the problems with this guy, he's not making it any easier on himself, because one of the things that everybody keeps saying is if this guy just said, wow, I really overreacted, I shouldn't have done this, but those kids, you know, kind of pushed me over the edge, and I'm sorry I did this. But he's not. He still is just going off about the kids. He's still really angry. He still blames it all on them. He's not taking any responsibility for kind of the unhinged aspect of what he did. And so, but what ultimately I think will happen is, because he doesn't have any priors or anything, and you know, he was kind of a normal guy, you know, until this happened. I don't think he'd ever had any problems with his neighbors. So I think what they will do is they'll reduce that felony kidnapping down to a charge of unlawful confinement, which is no more than 20 years incarceration. They'll probably be able to get him. But, I mean, that's better than 50. But
well,
then
yeah.
I think he'll probably end up getting sentenced to 10 years, though.
God.
It's up to 20, and I think the least they can do is 10.
He's going to be in jail 10 years because those little rugrats rang his doorbell 2 weeks in a row, and he overreacted.
Yeah, but not helping yourself. Even just to stay out of jail, even if I didn't mean it, I'd be like,
"But see,
I'm so sorry."
Isn't it crazy how the law works? This guy
shows some remorse. Yeah, he really does, because that's what the authorities were saying is, look, you know, we want to work with this guy, but he's still kind of unhinged.
Do it again.
I was going to say when he gets out,
both of them in the house.
Yeah.
When he gets out, he's going to turn into John Wick.
He's
going to kill these kids.
Those kids are going to be 25 years old. He's going to go after. I just feel like the law is so weird. I mean, this guy could do 10 years in jail. Diddy's out in, 6 months. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just, I look at it and like, what's going on, Lisa, you don't control the law. You just know the law backwards and forwards. As always, you've done a tremendous job. Fantastic work. Listen, we're off next Friday. We're going to talk to you on Thursday. Is that okay?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
There she is. Lisa Lanier, our official attorney. Have a great weekend.